This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hail cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh, and I'm here with a special guest today. Some of you may recognize him. He was on the podcast last year. Welcome, Dave Wagner Lodell.
You nailed it.
Excellent. Excellent.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it. And thanks, everyone, for the kind words last time. And it's a pleasure to be on. It's like, you know, you guys are, I feel like, getting really popular, blowing up, so I feel like I'm sort of hanging on your coattails a bit, but happy to be on.
Just riding that star, right? Like riding that riding that comet. So game week two is it's 90% in the books. Just kind of scheduling purposes, we're recording before the Man City Everton match, but I think we've got plenty to talk about. We're going to talk a little bit about Harry Kane. We're going to talk a little bit about Manchester United. And lots more. But first, how was your game week so far? How are things looking for you, Dave?
Terrible, Josh. Yes. I'm lucky we're recording this a few hours afterwards because I was really kind of steaming and not so happy this morning. But no, overall, my team's okay. I have 115 points. I have De Bruyne going tonight. So, you know, I'm still under a million. So no need to panic. I'm fine. But this week I have De Gea clean sheet. I have Lukaku captain, and then all blanks. So it's, you know, ideal.
At least you got the goal. You got a captain goal, which always. And you had a pretty good game week one.
So I had 85 game week one. I was riding super high. No transfers needed. No Zaha. So I was feeling pretty puffed up and feeling good about myself, and then you know, as FPL will do, game week two happens, but
yeah, there was a comment from Chris Howell on our Facebook page that I thought really summed up how a lot of us are feeling today, which is he said, game week one, FPL is awesome and so much fun. Game week two, FPL is stupid and I hate it.
It pretty much nailed it.
Yeah, I have a slightly better game week so far. I'm on 40 points right now. I was, you know, a similar team to you in a lot of ways, but I have Hagazi and I have Christian Eriksen. So Hagazi is the player who keeps on giving. I actually went four at the back this game week, and he really saved me because I get one from Bertrand and two from Ben Mee. And that Ben Mee clean sheet, I thought was like just an absolute sure thing. I really thought I was going to get that one.
And near goal too, right?
Yeah, exactly. Near goal in the first half, right before halftime. And then I have Christian Eriksen too. And that one really came through. Thank you, Batshuayi. Batshuayi really saved my game week because it was kind of a unexpected 7 points from Eriksen. I mean, he looked great, but there was a moment, I think, 70 or 75 minutes into that Spurs game today where I thought there is just no, the Spurs are not going to score today. Just Chelsea have gotten their heads. They're going to shut them down. It's not going to happen.
Yep. Yeah, that was a tough. I'm a Spurs supporter, and it was a tough one. I was pretty bummed out, man. I was like,
That second Alonso goal was pretty criminal on Spurs' part.
Yeah, that was. I mean, he deserves it. He's good, but I mean, the Spurs, I feel like, were the better team, just unlucky. But then at a certain point, you know, you get the what is luck versus what is, you know, mental skill and, you know, finishing the job. So, yeah, tough game.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, we're going to talk more about Spurs in the kind of in-depth section of the podcast. But, I mean, I'm starting to wonder now. I mean, it's funny, you know, between Kane and Eriksen, I'm starting to feel like Eriksen might be the one player who's essential on that team from an FPL standpoint. I mean, he's involved in everything. You know, he's in every free kick. His goal attempts are already up, you know, for 2 weeks of the season. Could have actually scored today. He had a really nice kind of give and go with Kane. I think it was maybe early in the second half. What do you think about Eriksen right now?
Yeah, I mean, well, the other thing, I mean, as we all know, is he's just a streaky player. And if he's on a hot streak, you ride it. if he's like this all season, then he's a keeper. But I agree. He's just ripping it up. I mean, Kane we'll talk about him later. But yeah, Eriksen looks great.
Yeah, Eriksen looks great. Kane, not so much. I'm going to run through and look at the rest of my team here. I had Lukaku as well. You can't complain when you get a goal, right? I felt like 6 points doubled. I wanted more, but I can't complain that much, especially given the way that game went. I was staring down the barrel of a 2-pointer. Mm-hmm. So you have to. I mean, do you agree? I mean, he's not going to score every game week.
Yeah.
So
I mean, one of the points I always hammer is the most undervalued, under talked about point in this game is captain. I mean, we do talk about it, and we do polls, but in terms of like selection and transfers, like captain is huge. I mean, it's like you're doubling your points every week on a guy. It's like you better. And I've tried this year when I was drafting, even before game week one, like, all right, who's my captain the first 4 weeks? Like, think about it. It's because it's such a huge part of the game. So I'm happy with that. Especially Lukaku is.
This is a big question then, because let's talk about this for a little bit more. Is your philosophy on a captain that you want to captain the most highly owned player? Is it just straight up whoever you think is going to get the most points? I mean, I know it's.
No,
and these factors sometimes overlap.
It's safer for me. I mean, my friend and I were joking about FPL last night. It's not a game that, you know, rewards like intelligence. It punishes ignorance. You know,
it's interesting. Yeah.
So it's I typically play conservative on the captain side, and that's something, you know, it's not so much a secret. I think a lot of people do for a good reason, because you just will get completely hammered if you just go rogue, especially early. So, I mean, I thought I was, and we'll talk about this, but I was pretty convinced that Salah would get the most points. But I was like, you know what? You know, I'm not going to, and there's no point in risking it. I was just Lukaku, you know, so.
Right. You keep Salah in your squad and then just.
Exactly.
My feeling about captains is that people tend to get in their head a little bit about captains. I've been guilty of this myself. You know, you forget that the reason a player is being captained, I mean, like, it's like, sometimes I start to think about it just in terms of their ownership, you know, and it's like I forget that they're captaining this player because they're, you know, one of the five most talented, you know, typically whoever the most captained player is the best striker in the league, right? Or it's top two or three striker in the league. Those players are the players who are going to score the most points, therefore they're the ones you want to captain. Like, it's, people get so caught up with this idea of differential captains, you know, like a captain who has this low ownership and that's how you're going to shoot up. But yeah, like you said, it's, if you don't play defensive with your captain more times than not, you're just going to keep falling. You know, it's just so hard to pick the right differential.
Yeah. It's just easier to stick. I mean, it probably would have been better if a captain Aguero every single week last year. I don't know. I haven't run the numbers, but
The weeks when he wasn't suspended.
Exactly.
He only ended up playing about 8 games last year because of his many elbows. So are you planning to captain Kane in game week 3? I mean, you know, that's the big question, right?
This was the game. I mean, this is why I have Kane. This, and you know, we're stepping over the top again, but you know, this is why you have Spurs, Burnley at home. I mean, they've won, what they said today, they won one game away from Turf Moor last year, all last year. I mean, Kane has to come good in this one, you would figure. Yeah. But was it Lukaku's away at Stoke, I think? And that's fairly decent. Or is, oh, no, Leicester?
No, and Lukaku's actually home to Leicester in Game Week 3.
Okay. Okay, my fault.
Leicester shipped four goals to Arsenal away in Game Week 1. So it's going to be very hard not to captain Lukaku. But
yeah, I think that's going to be the move. But this is another one where captain Lukaku, even though I think Kane will probably score. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the odds are they're both going to score. So it doesn't, you know, it might end up being kind of a wash anyway.
There you go.
Just to finish talking about my team quickly. I only have Firmino. That's my only Liverpool coverage. So disappointing 2 points from him. I didn't find him super active in that game.
Mm. Can I go on a mini Liverpool rant really quickly?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Just a quick tip. So I actually watched this game in the Boston Liverpool bar. That was my first mistake. And then, you know, when I saw, in hindsight, it makes perfect sense now from Klopp, right? So you have Crystal Palace, then you have Champions League, and then you have Arsenal in the span of a week, and they're all home games. So of course you would go with your sort of B-plus team to get the job done against Palace. So I get the selection in hindsight. I didn't even think of it. But he really, really screwed me or us because Firmino owners, because then Firmino's on the wing, just was completely like, that's just not where he's great, as we know.
Yep,
they just look so sluggish. And I mean, like Milner was like heavily involved and it's just like, really? So, I mean, just waiting. And when Salah came on, I'm like, he's going to score. I mean, no doubt. And he made stuff happen and, you know, they got the result.
I felt very lucky for that Salah didn't play in this match. Not having him in my team and not really having a clear way to bring him in right now. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I guess if I'm making a move, we'll talk about transfers later. But I've got two transfers right now. It's gonna be very hard for me not to pull the trigger on a Pogba or Mkhitaryan move. In the next couple of days.
Yeah, that's my problem too. But I will say, so I was mad about the Liverpool thing. So I was reading an article about their tactics, and they were really talking about Robertson and how well he did. And he's a 4.9 defender. I mean, Liverpool defender, not.
Yeah, it's amazing he already fell a tenth. That's so fast.
Yeah, so, but he's 4.9. I mean, really active, crossing. So I don't know if they get their act together with defense, which is probably never, could be a bargain.
Right.
So just throwing that out there.
Yeah, and it sounds like Lallana is now maybe out till December, so Milner may stay in that midfield for a while longer.
Yeah, and they have to pick up someone after Coutinho leaves, so we'll see what happens.
I still don't think it's going to happen, although at this point, it really probably should happen, right? $115 million or whatever it is, it's so much money. I mean, if it was, I feel like $50 million, it's like, you know, Arsenal is looking at $50 million for Sanchez. That, to me, isn't worth making the move because, you know, if they get into the Champions League next year, that's $50 million right there. And if they don't have Sanchez, they probably can't make the Champions League. So
that's a great point.
So I don't know why they'd get rid of him. I mean, I guess it's risky because they still might not do it. But $100 million you can buy so many players with that much money, right? That's like, I think someone had said that's like Julian Draxler and Virgil van Dijk with like $20 million to spare.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they need. So it's
exactly. Like, yeah. All right. So
sports group killing it.
And I forgot to mention this at the top of the pod, but I had the good fortune to actually watch some games at the Football Factory, which is this bar called Legends in New York. It's on 33rd Street. It's like right by the Empire State Building. It's not a part of town I would typically want to be in a Saturday morning. I like cushy Brooklyn where I live. I prefer to walk to my local Black Horse Tavern soccer bar. But
how long does it take you to get there?
To Midtown? Yeah. About 40 minutes, mm-hmm. I'd say. It did involve a cab halfway this morning. Saturday, because the trains are kind of screwy. But I met up with Luke Thunberg, who is a longtime guy we've been talking with on Twitter since the first episode or two of the podcast. And an FPL stag who wrote some of the absolute best preview articles leading up to the season, some really insightful stuff. He writes stuff for RotoWire and RotoWorld.
RotoWorld.
Sorry, Yeah, I think it's Roto World. Sorry, Stag. But he writes for Roto something, and if you go to FPL Stag, you can figure that out. That was some bad free promo for him.
Roto World is good. When I was playing NBA Fantasy, Deep Cut, they were the best site for NBA. So I think their soccer, football will benefit from your work.
His stuff is great. They're two really nice guys, and he had never really had the American soccer bar experience, you know, getting to a bar at 7:30 in the morning watching games. And so we had a lot of fun. It was, you know, when the 10 o'clock game started, we were just jumping around from game to game, and there was a massive Leicester contingent there, and that was a game that none of us really cared about, and so we were sort of peeking over and checking that out from time to time. But I want Leicester to be good, you know, just as a non-FPL aside. It's no fun if they're bad.
It's fun. I mean, I saw their kit in a bargain bin in the mall today, and it's kind of a bummer.
Hail Cheater Super League, very quickly, because obviously we've got another match tomorrow. I actually have two players in tomorrow's match. I've got KDB and I have Danilo, so I'm hoping for some. It's probably Danilo's last game for me too, because I'm a little worried about him starting long term. So, do you have KDB, right, Dave?
Yeah, I have KDB. So hoping for a double digit haul tonight. I enjoy the when you have the send off game. You're like Danilo, you know, it gets very sentimental for me. It's like, oh, it's just, you know, do your best, run it out, you know, leave it all in the field, and
it's true.
Then you're gone.
I already got one clean sheet from him, so I feel like I gambled and won. I mean, I feel the same way about Higazi. I mean, at this point, I picked up 23 points from two matches from Higazi. Like, even if he doesn't start the next four matches, I've got my money back. I got my value. So anyway, Hail Cheater Super League through 90% of the games. And I'll just run through this myself, Dave, because I don't want you to have the indignity of reading these names off incorrectly. I'll do that. I will do that, but I'll do it myself. We have a three-way tie for ninth. Pog Fantasy Team, Evan Drummer, PepsiCo, Max Hoy, Clichy's Clean Sheets, Fabio Borges. Oh, my God. Already back into the top 10. He was a fixture in the top 10 last year. I mean, a writer of great short fiction and a writer of great Fantasy Premier League lineups. So really well done there, Borges. Junsung Park the Bus, Xavier Mies, N34, Mark Cassander, Toffee FC, Tyler Dudek, Dark Knights. I'm not even listening off where they're ranked. So just keep in mind these are going up, people. Dark Knights 11, Ahmad Junad is in fifth. And then we've got a two-way tie for third. Here for Beer, Jim Duda, Misset, which is Matthew Misset, a tie for third. And then number two is Mishu at De Gea Bar. And I finally get the gay bar thing. Everyone wrote in on Twitter to tell me how square I am, that I didn't figure that out last time. Richard Fox in second. And then FC Ben Salona, Ben Kitt, is in first place, 70 points through Sunday's fixtures, and 167 points total. I have sadly fallen out of the top 50 of the Hail Cheater Super League. It's very sad. You know, the sad thing about starting, I was top 25K after game week one, and now I'm like 160, which is, it's still respectable, but, you know, you want to stay in the 100K if you can. You know, it's like, I feel like my dream of a top 100 finish, or, you know, some like crazy number, it's like, I need like a big game week three to get myself back in there.
I never get tired of your rants about how stupidly hard the Super League is. It's one of the more humbling things. So, first of all, I appreciate, you know, we're in a mini league together, and I appreciate joining that mini league. And I had a really good week one. I was like second place. I was like, oh my God, it's a, you know, always cheating. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm in second place. I realized that was our mini league, and in the Super League, I was like, you know, out of the 100 or something, you know. This is ridiculous.
it's the League of League, Dave. I don't know how it got so big. I mean, I guess it's you want to play the best, you know. It's like Poker Stars, you know. Learn chat and play with was that Full Tilt Poker? Yeah, learn chat and play with the pros. That's our motto.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. With a bunch of sponsorships on my shirt, you just can't.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a NASCAR game over here. Okay, we've got a rant of the week, which comes from Eric Freeman. He says, I'm using the wild card this week, and I hate myself for it. Which leads right into our FPL philosophy section. This is a new thing we're doing this year, which is some little deeper thinking, some FPL deep thoughts, Dave. Mm. So I'm actually just branding this a section this week. I think last week we just did it.
The Jack Andy Memorial Deep Thoughts.
Yeah, exactly. I need like a little 10-second like bumper music around this or something. Jordan Elmer says, I think a wild card is on the table. Should we wait until after the midweek cup games? And I'm going to make this a bigger question, which is wild carding. How soon is too soon for you? And tell me a little bit about when do you typically use your first half wild card?
Obviously it depends. I mean, but early is not necessarily bad. Can I ask a really dumb question first?
Sure.
Yep. Once you activate your wild card, can you deactivate it?
That is a good question. If you haven't made any transfers yet.
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, I think I don't want to answer this and then have someone make like a couple of transfers and then like try to deactivate it. I think that you can do it though. And I know the reverse works because I had a friend once who burned like 32 points making our friend Trevor, who he made like 10 transfers and then forgot to hit the play wild card button.
That's just a classic. Yeah. Someone on the Scoutcast did that last year too, I remember.
Yeah, exactly. Was that Andy, I think? Yeah. but then he actually was able to hit the play wild card button and then erase that.
Yeah. So people do that just to be silly about it, but. Tweet us with the answer to that question. Someone open a burner account, start their wild card, and figure it out. Tweet at Hail Cheaters and let us know.
Female, What's your Twitter handle, Dave?
D Wagner, DWEIGNER. It's the Ellis Island mistake spelling of David.
is that right?
By the way, just full disclosure, I'm not the manager of Huddersfield. I just butchered that too.
That's true, and I even made I even said Dave Wagner is a wizard earlier on Twitter, so it sounded like I was praising you in advance of this podcast. It is amazing. I don't want to get too off topic. I want to get back to this wild card thing, but 6 points from two for Huddersfield is pretty darn impressive.
Yeah,
I mean they might stay up. It's amazing.
Well, with the way Newcastle's going, some other guys, for sure. So wild card. So let me answer the other question. Never too soon. I mean, in some ways, it's when you have the right amount of information, I suppose. So if you think you can see some trends with a few guys and you wildcard and you bank all those, valuable points that you're going to get because you see that these bunch of players are going to score more than the crap team you have now, then it's going to be worth it. It's just, making sure it's just with this silly transfer window still open and, some... still games to go, but
surely you'd want to wait until after the transfer window closes, if at all possible.
I think that would be a good goal. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think of how bad. The problem is, there's a kind of a unique problem this very season, which is there are two extremely expensive midfielders who have not rejoined their squads yet. Well, I mean, they've rejoined the squads, but they're not match fit yet, and you have. In Eden Hazard and Alexis Sanchez. Now, these are not players that I'm necessarily planning to get in right away, but I certainly want the opportunity to tinker during my wild card with bringing in one or both of those players.
Yep.
I guess you can kind of do it without a wild card, but it's so true. I mean, right now, it's like, I guess I could go Kane to Mounier, and that would free up $6 million for, there are ways to do it, but there's nothing better than having a week with a wild card. I mean, I actually like to do my wild cards around international breaks if I can. So I actually have 2 weeks to tinker with things a little bit, and I can see if anybody gets injured over a break. So I think I would definitely wait until at least after the 30, how many days are there in August? 31. After the 31st is over, just to be safe. Sometimes you need it. I mean, I actually think, the other half of the Hail Cheaters squad. I think Brandon is like probably gonna. He might pull the wild card trigger after game week 2. I think he might need to tinker with things a little bit.
Yeah.
But now he's probably gonna angrily respond on Twitter and tell me how wrong I am.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we talked about last time I was on. It's almost worse to be stubborn sometimes, and not take action. So it does depend, but I mean, don't beat yourself up if you. I did a wild card game week two, a couple of years ago. It worked.
Yeah, I did too. I think maybe 3 years ago I did it, and it was actually one of my best seasons. So, there's no hard and fast rule. I do think that there are enough players who are injured right now. I mean, you have Coutinho too, who's a 9 million player. He might even be down to 8.9 at this point. I can't remember who you might want to add to your squad, if he comes back. I mean, all these players with their fake injuries, right? I mean, we'll see who's actually healthy, come September 1. And things are really going to look different. And, I mean, Chelsea still may have some moves to make as well. So, I think I would wait until, game week 4 at least.
I think my problem is, and, I'm a professional podcaster, so I probably shouldn't say this, but I don't really have a
time podcaster.
Yeah, I mean, we have all these listeners waiting with bated breath for our advice, but I don't really have a feel for about 90% of the league right now. It's just it's tough. So, I know obviously there's certain targets. Double up on Man U would be great, and we have some sense of defense now, but it's still like, who knows some of the, after two games of just wild, crazy stuff happening, it's just.
It's a really good point. I mean, everyone was on Mooney, Mounier, after game week one. He blanks in game week two. Everyone was transferring Chicharito out in game week one. He gets a brace in game week two.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really true. I mean, Marcus Alonso, picks up 0 points. In game week one, and was it 16 points today? Mm. So, it's definitely hard to get a total read on everything.
Mm.
What a game for him, right? He like filled up the stat sheet. I think he had a yellow card as well. two goals. All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll get right into our deep dive of game week.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
All right, Dave, we're back. And before we get into our deep dive heading into game week 3, I want to talk about starting 11. Now, you had your first starting 11 experience this weekend. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so it was fun. So it's fun to step away from your keeper team, if you will, FPL right. Classic. And starting 11, you can put in just sort of where the good matchups are that week. So I was excited because we just talked about it. Like, all right, well, I think Salah's going to score the most this week, so I was very excited to captain him in my starting 11. Take a punt. Uh-huh. What was interesting about starting 11, and I'm just learning it, but you can make substitutions, right, on the fly.
Yes, you can.
So, and they alert you on your phone. They're like, hey, this guy didn't start, or he's getting subbed out. You might want to sub him, so that's helpful. So I captained Salah, saw he wasn't starting, so I was like, all right, I'll sub. Went to Lacazette. Then he was blanking, and then I subbed in Walcott. So starting 11, I had the trifecta of captain blanks my first week. So that was pretty exciting.
It's just really comprehensively not your game week.
It was like a new humbling experience in fantasy. So thank you, starting 11.
So starting 11, daily fantasy app. You can download it in your iTunes store or in the Android store or whatever your phone store is. But it's starting11.io is where you can learn more about it. We had an interview on like two episodes ago. We actually kind of did a deep dive into starting 11. So if you want to hear more about it, you can go there. I had a kind of a mixed bag of a weekend. I did end up captaining Lukaku, and that worked out. I beat you in our head-to-head too, so I was happy about that. Today I did another matchup and didn't go so great. It was some heavy investment in the Spurs back line, and kind of. I guess I just wasn't expecting that kind of Chelsea, that kind of mobilized Chelsea front, right? I mean, they looked fantastic as a unit yesterday.
Yeah, they're fine.
Listen, I'm no Chelsea lover, but I mean, you have to admit that whatever kind of like squad pride they have, no matter who the manager is, there's something about that squad.
That's the thing. It's so I'll be a homer and say it reminds me of sort of like the Patriots teams of a few years ago when they didn't have their best stuff, but they're just a professional elite team. And even though they're hurt and they have weird lineups and they're starting seven defenders, they just make it happen. They make it work. And I respect that. Yeah.
Exactly. I totally agree. And So anyway, so if you want to, you can actually challenge the cheaters. We're doing head-to-head matchups on the weekends, and you can play us on Saturday or Sunday going into game week 3. Just message us, hailcheaters@gmail.com, or just find us on Twitter, which is hailcheaters is our handle, or facebook.com/alwayscheating. We're on all those places. And once again, if you want to listen to that podcast interview with Thomas Braun, that's, I think, 3 episodes ago. I think it's 87, so check it out.
And you get, wait, can one last thing, you get points.
Yeah.
This is important. You get points for shots, not just goals.
Yes.
Shots on target, exactly. And off target. So I think we were just saying that, you know, Eriksen's probably a god in this game.
He really is. I think Pogba as well, actually, is really, Pogba shines. All right. Key questions for after game week 2, going into game week 3. We didn't get as many questions about Man United as I was expecting, but I do want to talk about Man United for a minute. The first question we can dispense with quickly, I think, which is Tashi C says, is Lukaku going to score every game? I don't want him on my team.
Well,
it was a good reading of that tweet. Yeah. I really tried to put some mustard behind it.
I loved it. It was good. I'm sorry you don't want Lukaku on your team. I don't know what you have against Lukaku. I don't know what you have against United. But he looks like he could score every game.
He could score 40 goals this year. I mean, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility that he could score 40 goals. I mean, it would just take a couple of games where he had, like, a hat trick.
He plays the full 90. He's, I mean, one thing I'm forgetting, was it Rashford or Martial was, like, up front a lot, almost, like, more than him for, like, the first half. But he's just going to get something. He's going to get a poacher's goal. He's going to get something.
It's true. I mean, and he actually looked a little better when Rashford's going to slow his roll a little bit, mm-hmm. or he's going to lose his spot to Martial because he's just going to pass it a little bit more. I felt like there are a few opportunities in the first half where he didn't quite initiate the attack as well as he could have. I mean, he's so fast, and I really like Rashford, but I think that he. It's like I wonder if he's trying to prove himself a little bit. I don't know.
Pressing,
it just felt
still.
Like
he's pressing. He was, I was high on him last year, but it looks like he hasn't progressed at all, which is not good for young.
Yeah. Yeah. I really think that, I wonder if Martial's just a better fit with that squad.
And once you do two like chip attempts that don't work, like one is like, okay, but then the second one, you're just off the team. So
he's on thin ice. Unless you have Salah running behind to you know, clean up your mess, it's not going to work.
Or Bailly with a flying high kick to put it through or something.
Let me propose a possible transfer that I might make this week to you, Dave.
Yep.
Actually, I could make two transfers. And this, so I could actually move, I could do KDB to KDB to Pogba. And then I could turn Danilo into Marcus Alonso. What do you think about those moves?
Knee-jerky, but good. That's my professional opinion on that.
Yeah, it's great.
Pogba is just like someone I was like preseason just being like, he's not going to be on my team. I'm not having Pogba on my team. I like him as a person and a haircut, but I just don't want him on my team. But this really, this could be his year. He just might light it up. I don't know what to think about it anymore.
If these matches had both ended at the 75 minute mark instead of the full 90, we would be looking at 3 points in each match from Pogba. No, excuse me, because he got an assist at the halfway point after he hit the crossbar. But he's come alive at the end of both matches. You know, picked up the goal at the end of game week 1, and then picked up a goal and another assist in like the last 10 minutes of that game. So, I mean, I still wonder if Mkhitaryan is the better player in that squad.
Yeah, so great. So we have to talk about this. So Mkhitaryan, all right, so Pogba, explosive, I think. Full 90, explosive player, all right? Mkhitaryan plays, here's the arguments for him. He plays farther up front. He is blowing away the underlying stats for assists per game. Like, he's just a god with assists. And he is near the top in underlying bonus points. So before you do goals, assists, the underlying bonus points, he's, like, near the top of that table, too. So it's one of those, it kind of reminds me of, like, the Alonso versus Azpilicueta decision last year. Like, do you want the explosive goal score or the bonus point magnet? And Mkhitaryan has the assist potential and goal potential too. So I don't know. It's really a toss up. But Pogba just looks like, whew, I mean,
he wants it. Scary. Yeah, it's if he stays, like, if he wants it this bad all season, then he's probably the better player, because mm-hmm. it looks like he's, because, you know, he's going to play the full 90, right? Like, every match. And I mean, he's going to play like every game, right? He's going to play like every Champions League game.
Every game. That's huge, though.
Every game.
That's huge. Yeah. I mean, for any player, it's like minutes, you know, is everything. If you're not on the field, you can't score. So
exactly. Yeah. And I'm still, I think I'm with you on Mkhitaryan, but it's a tough call. I think I want one of those two players, and it's really going to be, I mean, it's going to be moot by the time this podcast goes up, but so I don't want to linger on it too long, but if KDB doesn't do anything tomorrow, it's going to be very hard for me not to make that move for Man United, given how strong their fixtures are, given that I would free up 2 million if I drop KDB. So
yeah, I think the bottom line with the decision right now is I don't think there's a clear cut between Mkhitaryan and Pogba. You know, go with your guts, your team, have fun with it. Whoever you're more happy with. The KDB, I think, even if he does have a return tonight, the problem with him is it's too much money for someone you can't captain.
Right. Yeah. It really is the problem, right? I mean, and that actually might ultimately be the problem with Kane as well. If you're just going to captain Lukaku every
game. That's true too. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So many decisions. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would love to free up 22.5 million by dropping Kane and KDB. So,
well, we're going to have to work Hazard or Sanchez, one of those guys, at some point. So
you would think, right? I mean, it's amazing how none of us, I mean, I guess it was partially because we all thought he was going to move and then he wasn't match fit, but I mean, no one is talking about Alexis Sanchez right now. I mean, the overwhelming points leader last season.
Yeah, it's the Sanchez elephant in the room, seems like.
And not just when he plays for the middle. I mean, you know, by the end of last season, it was like he figured out how to play in the wing again, and he was super dominant. So
that's a good point. Yeah, he was good. Actually, he was almost worse when he was, like, up top in the middle. It's like it was just too much.
He had he started strong. Remember, he had that West Ham game where he had, like, the, you know, three goals and two assists or whatever. And then he kind of faded like he always does because he plays too hard and it's just him playing every match.
He's not a poacher. He's not like he doesn't play that, like, sort of lingering, like, sniper poacher thing. He needs a good runway, a good head start.
Which is why I think he and Lacazette could really play well together. You know, I think that Lacazette
is a good point.
He could really, you know, he'll be there to pick things. But I actually think that can help both players. You know, I don't think that one player's fantasy value is going to affect the other. It'll only help, I think. But
don't you love how there's, like, this prototypical, like, Premier League player that, you know, it's just gonna be good because they're just so gritty and just are, like, crazy, and, like, you know, they just go 100 miles an hour. You're like, yeah, it's like Salah, yep, Lacazette, yep. It's like
yeah, it's so true. And he actually, that goal should have counted that he scored yesterday.
That's right, he scored a goal. Yeah,
did score a goal, and I'm in deep denial about yesterday's match as an Arsenal fan. I don't really want, you know, we barely brought it up so far. It's maybe the first time we brought it up in the whole podcast. But I think and someone was like, well, it was his only chance, but I was like, well, that's what a striker is. I mean, they get, maybe, you know, it's all about your conversion, you know. I mean, if you get one chance and you score, then you have done your job, you know. I mean, they're not on the ball that much, so, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, Kane is, of course, but Kane's kind of a...
And this is probably exception. Looking a little too far ahead for people still sweating wild cards, but game week 4, Arsenal have, was it Bournemouth at home? Let me see here. Bournemouth at home. And the other fixtures, not so hot for the top teams. So,
yeah.
Arsenal, and then they have Chelsea away and West Brom. So, not mixed... mixed fixtures on them, on Arsenal and Liverpool way, you know. So, but it could be a punt a little bit. You know, Lacazette's lurking. Ramsey is at a lot of chances. So, you know.
Ramsey actually probably should have scored yesterday as well. Mm-hmm. And that ball in for Monreal in the first half. All right, so Harry Kane and Spurs. This is the next topic. Josh Wilson says, two questions here. I'm just going to read them both off. Josh Wilson says, how long do you give Kane before you trade? And Rutaj RMCF says, isn't Trippier at Trippier?
Trippier.
Not Trippier. It's very hard to see the IER and not say it that way.
I know.
Isn't Trippier at 5.4 a must-have now?
Well, the really bad thing is it's the Meunier and then Trippier.
I know, exactly.
That's just wrong.
It is.
The thing with Harry Kane is he's going to score next week. Lock it in. It guaranteed he's going to score next week. All right. But then sort of what do you do? I mean, Everton away. Whatever. And then Swansea at home. West Ham. Huddersfield. I mean, sheesh. I mean, I think he feels still like a keeper to me, but... Yeah, the whole Wembley August voodoo is the monkey is still on his back. But he's going to score next week, guys. Don't worry. Lock it in. You know, it's happening.
I'm itchier on the KDB front. I think I would like to drop KDB at some point. I wonder if I need to move, if I need to drop Firmino for someone like Meunier and bring in maybe Salah instead. You know, in that midfield, and I don't know. Honestly, we're at a point right now, and I was thinking about this when I was watching games over the weekend, where there have been so many talented acquisitions over the last, you know, I don't know, 12 months, let's say, into the league that you can't have everybody, and you have to keep reminding yourself of that, because otherwise it's so stressful to think about how do I have Salah, Hazard, you know, Ali and Eriksen, KDB. You know, whoever ultimately wins another starting spot at Man City, it just feels like it's impossible.
Can't have them
right?
all. I mean, this is the game we all hope for. You know, don't we all get mad and it's frustrating when there's a template? We're all like, oh, template. Ugh.
Yes.
So it's fun. Yeah, this is what we hope for. We hope to make decisions and look smart. Just last thing on Kane, though. I mean, more shots than Lukaku. More shots in the box. More shots on target. Minutes per attempt is almost double. Like it's happening.
four inches away, two matches in a row from scoring two goals. Yeah. Right. I mean, it's some bad luck. Let's call it bad luck, and let's not. Maybe he's in his head a little bit. I don't know, but I mean, you know, hit the post both times. It's pretty hard to do. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's practically a goal. It's pretty. You know, it was the outside of the post.
He was getting
both
goals. Kicked too. Like
he really was. Yeah, I mean, everyone was getting. It was just a foul festival. It's amazing there were three goals in that game, because that typically a game where there's that many fouls, I feel like it's usually like a 0-0. And then Trippier. I think he's a great option. I am definitely looking at. I mean, Danilo to Trippier would be a really easy move to make. I've got two transfers, and so I could just do that and actually save 0.1. So I
love that move. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's probably one of the two moves I make this week. He looked, you know, I thought he was really attacking. I thought Ben Davies is really attacking too. The only concern with Davies is whether he's going to get dropped for Rose at some point, or maybe they'll rotate or something.
Yeah, I'm on the lookout for that. But Trippier is just so good. He had a cross in the preseason in that game in Nashville, I think, to a Kane header that was just sublime. He's just so good. Like, it's ridiculous.
He really is.
And the 0.1 and is at nice that too. At, 0.1.
Yeah, and at 5.4 million, he's an absolute steal. I mean, given the fixtures that we just talked about, I mean, he's absolute steal. Mm-hmm. And he's so attacking that you can play him even in difficult fixtures.
Oh, 100%.
You know, I mean, that awake at Everton, I mean, that's you don't bench him for that game. All right, so... We're done with Kane. Oh, yeah. So we're done with Kane. We're done with Man United. Let's move on to a few knee jerks. That's what I'm calling this section. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah Johnson says, Alonso, is he still not worth the $7 million?
First of all, Jeremiah, terrific straw man argument. Love the question. But
he actually included an emoji of a man made of straw. No, I'm just kidding.
it would be worth it if you did. I disagree with your premise. Alonso can make a mockery of $7 million. We know that. I said before the season that Alonso was a season keeper for me. Just if you have to downgrade, play four at the back, it's just ridiculous not to have him with the point output that's possible. Now then we saw what Chelsea was doing in the preseason and their shambolic defending. And, you know, if you don't have a defender getting clean sheets, even if he is a Trippier or Alonso, that's, it's tough. It's painful. Yeah. So I was like, look, early wild card, I'll go without him for at least a couple weeks. You know, there's a lot of other options and we'll see how it goes. And you know, the first week it was like, I was feeling smart about that. And this week, not so much, but I mean, he's absolutely going to be on my team, I think, for the season, I think soon.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I feel like I'm just going to have to miss out on those points. I just don't know how I can get him in. And
well, there's my question for you, Josh, because we have similar teams. Yeah. So you played four at the back. Yeah. And this is something we a lot of people played with, right? Early.
The fixtures lended them. Okay, part of the reason I play four at the back right now is because I have a pretty top heavy team with Kane, Eriksen, KDB, and Lukaku and Firmino. It's like, you know, I've got basically, what is that, like 50 million tied up.
And I'm basically the same. Yeah, exactly.
So beyond that, I'm basically rotating two 4.5 million midfielders in Carroll and Ruben Loftus-Cheek. And I just feel like given that I'm doing that kind of rotation and those players are not, I mean, they're 4.5 million midfielders. They're not consistent players you expect consistent returns for. And so I feel like there are more opportunities this year for me to try a four at the back approach. And it actually really worked out well for me because the fourth defender that I added was Higazi, and he would have probably been the first player on my bench this game week. And instead I thought I feel like my chances are good. I thought that Burnley West Brom game felt like a possible 0-0 to me, right? I mean, I think a lot of us probably felt that way. But I certainly would have, despite Higazi's goal in game week one, I certainly felt like Ben Mee had a better chance to keep a clean sheet than Higazi. I mean, just given how good Burnley were at home last year, I'm still not totally they have two clean sheets in a row, so I feel better about West Brom now, but I mean, it's weird how bad they looked in the preseason and how good they looked
last year
so far. and last year for that matter, and now they're looking at another, you know, I mean, 6 points from two, you know.
Well, my question, well, we know clean sheets can be a little bit of a roulette too. Is this, do you make that as call as well because of the whole like wing back revolution type thing going on?
Yeah, I guess I would. I mean, it's funny because those players, me and, the reason I have Danilo is because he's a fullback. And I just felt, I thought my plan had always been to bring in Danilo and move him into Trippier and around game week three or four, whenever Trippier came back. But, you know, I just think there's good value in the 4.5 million center back area right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, the game has basically figured out that you price the full fullbacks at a higher rate, mm-hmm. and then you go 0.5 million cheaper for the center backs. But I mean, 4.5 million for a Burnley, you know, center back just felt like a good price to me. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I have De Gea right now too. I mean, my defense is, I've got Ryan Bertrand too. So obviously I did do the upgrade there. I paid the extra 0.5 to upgrade. I guess it would have been Yoshida or Stevens for Bertrand.
Yeah, that was a good move. I think that was right.
I think so. I mean, I got two bonus points in game week one. Obviously, Yoshida picked up, you know, did he? I think he might have vultured a bonus point, actually, too, in that. I think he might have ended up on 5 points with the late assist for that penalty win.
Yeah, so I'm through with a similar problem because I have Kane, Lukaku, Firmino, KDB, Salah. And I actually have De Gea in goal. This is the first time I've actually had a big goalie. So, you know, thank you to Brandon, I think, for really influencing my decision there. But then I have what I'm calling the midfield poo-poo platter of Ward-Prowse, uh-huh. Atsu, and Carroll. And I kind of want to go four at the back. Like, I don't, like, bring in Alonso and just go four at the back.
It might be the way to go. I mean, so like kind of, you know, two expensive midfielders, one, you know, mid-price midfielder, Aaron Moy perhaps, yeah. and then four at the back. I mean, that's not a bad move.
He looks so.
I can't go much.
Not one shot today.
I can't go much cheaper in my midfield.
That's well. This is the argument against is a weird argument, yeah. Maybe, but it's just like, well, you're just spending 4.5 and just benching it, and it's just yeah. But you know, it's like you said, it's a value thing of what's on the field at the same time. So I don't know.
It's a tough call. Part of it is if I can just resign myself to not having any Man City players, then it makes my decisions a lot
yep.
easier.
Yeah, that's what
they're all so expensive. Yeah,
yep. Good call.
I'm on point today. You know, maybe it's because I got a confidence boost. Even though I didn't bring Aaron Moy in, I got a confidence boost from just talking him up so much in the last week's yep. podcast. I mean, that podcast like might as well have been the Moycast. I spent like 30 minutes talking about, like, I was like Hamlet, like debating what to do between Ward-Prowse and Moy, and in the end, I didn't end up making the transfer. And you know, I mean, Moy looked like we thought he was, you know, and I love to have a midfielder or forward, I guess, on a smaller squad where everything runs through yeah. them, you know, where they're just like the fulcrum of the team. Because they're typically great. I mean, look at like Snodgrass last year is the best example of this, you know, where I don't know. Do you know who's on pens for Huddersfield?
They're not sure yet. So it could have been defender Lua or Ince. We're not sure.
Okay. Gotcha. But so it's not Moy. He's
probably not. Could be, but we don't know yet. Yeah. It's a little bit of a big question.
Okay. Gotcha. All right, well, let's move on to I don't know what to do with my midfield yet, and I'm going to spend like the next 5 days. Thankfully, I've got a vacation coming up, so I'm going to make my move, and then I'm going to go to Florida and let the chips fall where they may.
I like it.
Leo Howell says, I already went out and got Hesse. Reassure me that I'm right, or convince me that I've made a mistake.
I like the move. You know, got a couple of Spaniards coming to the game, Hesse and Joselu. Is that how you pronounce it? On Newcastle?
Yep.
I think so. Yep. So, you know, the Spaniards are good at soccer. The one thing I would say about that move, though, is you got West Brom, United, Newcastle, Chelsea. So fixtures could be better. yep. Three of the best defenses in the league. So maybe temper your expectations, but he looks quality and good value for the price, I think, for the season. So,
yeah. Of all of the reclamation projects that they've undergone the last few years, he seems like he might be the best one of a lot. I mean, I think we might expect better than Bojan returns or Bojan, however you say
it. I'll go Bojan and Shaqiri.
Shaqiri is injured, which is kind of annoying. Shaqiri, I was so excited when he joined the league. I've just been so disappointed in what we've seen from
Shaqiri. Yeah, I was high on him too. Yeah.
As a fellow short guy, I wanted more. Brandon Kelly, I think he's a first-time question asker, says, any Bournemouth hot takes, apart from them being not very good right now?
Well, Josh, I'll spin this question to you. Have you watched a minute of Bournemouth this year?
I watched, I was double screening at the bar yesterday, so I did see some Bournemouth Watford. Okay. It was not the main feed I was watching.
Okay. Well, what was your take on Richarlison or Richarlison?
Okay, he actually looked pretty good. I mean, yeah, he's got a kind of a like a streamlined look.
Yeah.
You know, he's like he looks fast. Okay. I don't know what to think about Bournemouth or Richarlison for that matter. I guess I feel like I dodged a bullet not bringing in a Bournemouth defender. That's how I'm feeling right now.
Do I have one on my team? Yeah, I think I talked myself out of that as well. I mean, we all love Josh King. We have a soft spot in our hearts for him, but I don't see any, and nothing jumps out of me right now at Bournemouth.
I read a stats bomb article in the offseason about Josh King that dissuaded me from bringing him in. And they were just there. I mean, it was just like, it was, you know, he kind of basically it was the classic, unsustainable, you know, goal scoring from shots on target, things like that.
Or it could have been the one bullet point. He was reclassified. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. I mean, he's kind of a tempting, what is he? 7 million, 7.5 million. He's kind of tempting at that price. Maybe, I don't know. But I mean, and once Defoe plays, he's basically back to being a midfielder, right?
Yeah, that's like exactly. He scores 16 goals again, or whatever he did. So the one exception to this rule that you'd have to point out is Ake, that he somehow got a bonus point even without a clean sheet. So, yeah, that's right. You know, that's pretty nasty. So
I thought Begovic looked pretty good the couple of times I looked over and watched, but I still think he's not bad value at 4.5 million. But yeah, I mean, Ryan Fraser, that was kind of a hot pick. I don't think that's happening. Yeah. That's all I have to say about Bournemouth. That team kind of depresses me.
And they
me
got
right
City
now.
And Arsenal next, so let's put a hold on Bournemouth investments.
Put a hold on Bournemouth. Final question. This is a good one. A good one to end on. Richie FPL says, new cheaper options after game weeks 1 and 2 to consider. So who are some value options that you're looking at after the first two games?
Well, I mean, Moy. Right now, I mean.
Right.
Jeez.
Right.
Let me look at my sheet. Do you, as I look it up, do you want to pick out a couple too?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I think we could talk about the Huddersfield defense a little bit. I mean, you know, there's Zanka, who is, picked up an assist and a bonus point game week one, picked up another clean sheet. Lossell, the 4.5 million keeper for Huddersfield, also played really well today. I think Kagazi, I mean, it looks, I was a little wary of recommending Kagazi too much. I'm still a little wary of over recommending him, I guess, because there's still a chance that, I guess Evans could maybe take his spot if he actually comes back, if he doesn't go to City. If McCauley comes back, he might take that spot. But I'm starting to think that Higazi might be a player that, I mean, I guess Wimmer might come too. So I don't know. I feel like he's a player who might either be wildcarded in or out by a lot of managers in 2 weeks.
Yeah, just the name alone, I was like, who is this guy? This is a crazy punt. Like, this is not real. And sure enough, I'm just going to be punished week after week. You know, the two former Hull City defenders, I mentioned Robertson on Liverpool and then Maguire. Yep. So he's a hot one. He's 5.0. It's not really a cheapo, I would say. But...
Well, we talked about Moy and Richarlison a moment ago. Richarlison is 6 million and scored 2 game weeks in a row. I picked up an assist in game week one and scored today. Looked pretty good. I wonder if he's still getting some minutes. Like he's still getting some game time under his belt because he only played 41 minutes last week. He played 79 this week. So he might be one to keep an eye out for. Xhaka, I am not a fan of. I was surprised by how many transfers in there were. I mean, first of all, that guy makes like catastrophic mistakes in every game, like 2 game weeks in a row. I mean, Wenger singled him out after game week 2 for the mistakes that he made. So, I mean, his spot actually might be under, might be at risk as well. But yeah, I think Aaron Moy, 5.5 million. He didn't score a ton in the championship last year, but he has a pretty good goal scoring record in Australia. I think that he has the capability of getting a few goals this season, along with I think what his main strength is going to be, which is assists.
The only other thing, Okazaki, I think we have to mention, 5.5, scored a couple goals. It appears he had 2 shots on target and he scored them both, so probably unsustainable, and he has some bad fixtures coming up, but. 5.5 enabler. We're always looking out for that. So,
What do you think about Harry Maguire and Christian Fuchs are both 5 million? I guess you also have Danny Simpson at 4.5. Of those three, who do you most like right now? I mean, Maguire has come out hot.
Simpson was really good last year. And Simpson, I thought was like a bonus point type magnet too. If I remember, maybe I'm wrong about that.
He had a bad year last year. And I think that's why his price
before,
is down.
Maybe, yeah. I always liked Simpson. But I didn't see the Maguire goal. But Leicester fullbacks, they can be money.
Yeah, I mean, Fuchs at 5 million, I think, is really good value long term. I would rather have Fuchs or Simpson over Maguire. I mean, Maguire is ultimately a center back, and I just. Given that you can get folks for the same price,
I think I would too. They got United away and then Chelsea at home next. So, either if you're on the wild card, just plan to rotate, or just hold off for now. But probably wants to monitor, I'd say.
I think so too. I mean, that whole Leicester squad is full of pretty good value, just all over the place, and even even Jamie Vardy at 8.5 yeah. million. You know,
he looks scary, man. Yeah, he's like, whoa. It's like Vardy's back.
Yeah, he looks just... Yeah, and Mahrez picked up 2 assists and some bonus points. It was like old times.
One more is, do we think Jones on United 5.0, if he keeps playing, Phil Jones?
Yeah, I know. I wonder if I'm undervaluing him a little bit. I definitely did last week's podcast. I mean, if he locks in the spot, then yeah, I think he is good value. I mean, what do you think about Jones?
I mean, he's brittle. Straw man emoji. That's the problem, is he's gonna break. But that's a good value for United defense.
It's gonna happen
if he sticks on. So
all right, that's enough questions. Let's take one last break and we'll get into our short game week 3 preview.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
All right, Dave, game week 3 preview. So we've got fixtures on Saturday and Sunday this game week. We're heading into another international break after game week 3. It feels like feels too soon.
Not a fan of schedule.
No, not a fan.
Transfer window.
Yeah, they should really just take those players out and then just have these like crazy game weeks where you're missing like every international player and you have to like cobble
together. Oh, you mean like the MLS?
Yeah, like MLS style. But like, and I feel like the fantasy game would just have to give you like an extra 2 transfers or something.
International
break. It would add some strategy. So transfers planned for this week. I talked a little bit about, I think I'm going to replace James Ward-Prowse and I'm probably going to replace Danilo. The only reason I wouldn't replace Danilo is just if you know, if Mendy looks like, if he has a setback or something, you know, I think most likely Danilo's going to go, right? Because he was kind of brought in to be like a jack of all trades.
Yeah, I almost had him. I had the exact same thought. I brought in Davies, and I'm kind of stuck with him in a good way. So it's like, okay, well.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, Davies, worked out great in game week 1, so. And I feel like you have to just like, keep that stuff in mind, too, because it's like Higazi. I mean, you know, if you get the 15 points, you're good. You know, it's like, who cares what else happens? You know, if you get like 0 points or 1 point for 5 game weeks in a row or something, but you just want to bank one huge score, you know, and then it totally justifies the move. You can always transfer them out. What are you thinking about this week?
Well, I think, as you know, Kane's going to score, so that's going to be fun. Probably a Captain Lukaku to be safe. Random thoughts about this week, but transfer wise, yeah, KDB is on the chopping block. I just need to free up some funds. I am very, very much on the fence about Salah. He's got to play against Arsenal. I mean, it'd be ridiculous. And then they have Bournemouth at home next.
Yeah, he can't go anywhere.
Oh, no, wait, is it away? Sorry, I'm looking at the wrong one. Oh, sorry. Then they have City. Ooh. But then they have Burnley at home. And then Leicester, Newcastle. So a little bit mixed fixtures, but I think he's going to start playing. I don't think he's as much a rotation risk as, even though we had that setback. He's just so good. I'm just really want to keep him, but it's hard.
I think you said it at the top of the podcast. It was just, you know, it's 4 fixtures and... in 8 days or whatever it is, you know. I mean, he had to rotate a little bit. I mean, I guess I'm hoping that Firmino doesn't play at midweek, or otherwise, maybe he's a rotation risk.
I think they're going to throw the kitchen sink at Arsenal, though, and that's just a big game.
Yeah, that's true. Arsenal's too big of a match. And Arsenal need to win that game.
It's tough. So KDB and then upgrading Ward-Prowse to Moy maybe is on the cards, but. I also want to get a United, so that looks to be sort of the obvious move right now.
Yeah, it would be. I'm not going to burn 4 to do this, but if I were to burn 4 this game week, it would be Danilo to Trippier, and then it would be KDB to probably Mkhitaryan, and then it would be. James Ward-Prowse probably to Moy, and then I would actually have 2 million.
And then we'd have exactly the same team. We could hold hands. And...
Right, exactly. But I mean, I'm not going to burn 4 to take out KDB. That's especially playing Bournemouth in game week 3. I mean, I can certainly stick with KDB for one more game week, no matter what
happens. That's true. That's true. And tomorrow. Yeah, it could come good. And then, I mean, Alonzo is just, it's sticking in my craw because I was on record as saying he's a season keeper. He's be worth the money. And I was like, oh, early wild card. And what I ended up doing though is I had Alonzo and Willian, right? And then I had Kane and I think maybe an extra spur. And then I looked at the schedule and I said, wait a second, they're playing each other game week two. Yeah. It's kind of dumb to have like quadruple guys defense, you know, double defense playing each other and offense in one game. So that was like my whole rationale. Yeah.
You're like, Alonzo's going to score two goals in the game.
Exactly. It's that would never happen. So that was my whole thing of like, it's weird to start the year with that on the schedule with like four guys and two defense and two offense in the same match. So that was my whole rationale. But now I have to burn four to bring him in. And then I don't think I can afford Pogba or Mkhitaryan anymore, which is really painful. It's like,
yeah. I feel like the motto for this year is you just can't have
everybody. Yeah, and then I want to double up on Spurs, too, because I think they're going to do well next week. So I want either Ali or Eriksen, and I have either of those guys either. So it's tough right now.
Yeah, that's tricky. Yeah, it's kind of like there's no way to make that work without KDB going, is there? It's just that he's the key that kind of opens up a lot of
and having the big front lines is tricky, too, with Firmino. Yeah.
It makes it even trickier. So just looking at the fixtures for Saturday, there's a couple of interesting matches here. Crystal Palace Swansea, I think Ruben Loftus-Cheek is going to make his way back into my starting 11 for the game week. And Bournemouth City, I mean, I think that City will handle them. I don't expect 3-1 3-1 City seems about right, something like that. Huddersfield-Southampton should be an interesting match. I mean, just from a... just given Huddersfield's form so far this season, I wonder if they
could find a weird match. Was it very jarring to you when, I think the commentators even said this, was like when Huddersfield and Newcastle, they're like, well, this is a championship match. It's just like, it was a track meet and then it was kind of long balls and it was kind of weird. And then you watch, Spurs, Chelsea, and you're like, whoa, like this feels like a different league. Like it was very jarring.
It really was, and not just because they were playing at Wembley, as if to like heighten the contrast.
It was just completely polar opposites. It's really weird. So, in some sort of weird way, I see what you mean with the Southampton Huddersfield. That's if you're an FPL like crack addict like we are, that's an interesting match for that reason, just because it's.
There's just some glorious pure watches that take place at 10 o'clock on Saturday. I mean, Crystal Palace, Swansea, Huddersfield, Southampton, Newcastle, West Ham, and Watford, Brighton. I mean, there's no heavy hitters.
Well, see, this is where I think this is where I could be. This is where I have high hopes. So I actually took a punt on Fosu Mensah on Palace. So even though Tammy looked pretty lively for Swansea, they're just apathetic offensively. So I think I can get a clean sheet there.
Yeah.
And then Atsu. I mean, West Ham are just like a revolving door. So that could be one where Newcastle actually do something. Yeah. So,
you hope so. I mean, Newcastle need a win pretty badly. And then Man U Leicester at 12:30, 12:30 on the East Coast anyway. That's a pretty interesting match. Sure. I'm looking forward to that.
Another Lukaku, turn the page on a goal there. It's always interesting. Do you ever like have not anxiety, but the afternoon game on Saturday for us is sometimes a nationally televised game in the United States. And do you ever like kind of like, wow, I really hope it's a good game?
Yeah, I do. I think that all the time. There's something about being a soccer fan in the United States where you like you like become an ambassador for the game a little bit, especially early in the season. I remember last year I had a couple of friends who were texting me in game week one and they were like, oh, I'm just like, I'm who am I who should I think they both had the same question actually, which is who should I root for? And it's a very hard question to answer. I typically say Liverpool, even though I'm not a Liverpool supporter, because I feel like they're kind of upbeat as a fan base, and they sort of, I feel like they know who they are, they're not like, let's get the Champions League. Let's keep building the squad. And I feel like with Spurs, maybe not Spurs so much, but like with Chelsea or Man U or Man City, it's just they have to win the league. It's the only way they're going to be happy. You know.
Yeah, you want to. You don't want to pick too much of a front runner. Yeah, yeah. You would think.
Yeah, exactly. I'm an Arsenal fan, so I picked it. You know, I definitely
literally
didn't do that.
When I like decided on Spurs, like part of my reasoning was like I'm a Boston sports fan. I've had a lot of success. I can pick a slightly tormented team and be okay with it. But it turned out to be an awful decision because like I'm not okay with it. I'm just like, damn, this team is really cursed. I feel bad. Right. Like it sucks.
I know.
They're super
at least they're
fun.
Fun. Yeah, as an Arsenal fan, I mean that Arsenal Stoke game was just so perfect. It's just so classic. those losses don't even hurt anymore. I mean, that's water off a duck's back. Sunday, I'm conscious of not going on too long here, but we've got Chelsea, Everton, West Brom, Stoke, the morning fixtures, and then Liverpool, Arsenal, Spurs,
Arsenal.
Burnley.
That's tasty.
And Liverpool, Arsenal is a fun one. I can see a lot of different outcomes there. I think a 2-2 draw is like my
bet. Oh yeah, I'm feeling that. Yeah, I'm gonna co-sign that one. And yeah. Spurs Burnley, I'll do a prediction here. 2-0, Ali goal, Kane goal, Eriksen two assists. Boom, lock it down.
Wow. I would take that. I would take that because if Eriksen gets two assists, that probably means 3 bonus points for him too. So. I'll take my 12
points. I'm not guaranteeing the bonus points. That's a black box I'm not going to touch. But
Dave, thank you for coming on the podcast. Once again, where can people find
D.
you
Wagner,
on Twitter?
DWEIGNER. It's a lot of Boston sports, but happy to talk FPL too.
All right, excellent. And you can find us on Twitter. We're at Hail Cheaters. That's HAIL Cheaters. Facebook, we're facebook.com/alwayscheating. You can find us on SoundCloud. You can email us, hailcheaters@gmail.com. And you can still support the podcast on Patreon. It is not too late to be part of our Survivor League. The Survivor League is starting at the second international break, so you've got 5 or 6 more weeks still to join up and take part in that. And Dave, you actually won the Survivor League last year.
That's
so
how I made
test
my name.
How much fun
so if you want to be, you know, world famous, you know, join Patreon and get in the Survivor game. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, so you can get to be, you can actually appear on the podcast. You can, as it turned out, maybe we'll hit it off and you'll actually join our mini league as Dave did.
You'll get invited to Brooklyn. It's really like white glove. Like they roll out the red carpet. So it's quite an exclusive club.
Exactly. We really did. Thanks again to FPL Stag and to Luke Funberg for joining us, for joining me in Manhattan yesterday. It was a lot of fun to see those guys watch games. So, if anyone's ever traveling to town, please, send us a note. We'd love to meet up with you and watch a match. And just finally, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. It helps a lot if you're kind enough to leave a review. You can also subscribe to the podcast on Acast, Stitcher, TuneIn, and wherever podcasts are found. Once again, Dave, thanks a lot
for coming
on the podcast.
Josh,
much
Hail Cheaters. Thanks, everyone.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.